a small thing will make a big difference in your life. I used to exercise like crazy. I overtrained for years. I thought that more is better. I got to exercise every day of the week. Now I exercise 3 days a week. I work one body part a week. I eat more protein, less carbs. And because of that, I weigh what I did when I was in high school. And so this small change made a big difference. Maybe for you, if you were to ask a marriage counselor what's the most important thing you can do in your marriage, he or she would say, to have a great marriage, the small thing that you need to do that is really a big thing is you need to pray together every day. And you might say, well, what does that mean for me and my spouse to pray together every day? Does that mean we hold hands for a half an hour? No. It can be a 30-second prayer, just a 30-second prayer. And you might say, well, what would that do? Well, if you're praying together, then you're probably talking. And now you have a spiritual connection. And when you're spiritually connecting, it's really hard not to like that person. Right? And so this small discipline will make a big difference in your marriage. It's the small things that make a big difference. Well, today we're going to be in the book of Zechariah. And at the time this book was written, God's temple was destroyed and his people were in captivity. God's temple was destroyed and his people were in captivity, and it was a real low point in their life. And you might say, I'm at a low point right now in my life. Things seem kind of low right now. So they were basically saying, you know what? We don't have a house for God, and we're not living where we're supposed to be living. We're not where we're supposed to be in life. And maybe you can say, you know what? That's the way I feel right now. And so the people were depressed. Well, in 537 BC, a guy named Zerubbabel, say that fast five times, a guy named Zerubbabel, God used him to bring a remnant back to Israel out of Babylonian captivity. And so now there was some hope beginning to form. Now we're living where we're supposed to be living. But what about the temple? What about God's house? Well, 18 years later, God spoke to King Zerubbabel, and he said to him, I'm going to give you the power to rebuild this temple. You aren't going to be able to do it in your own strength. I'm going to give you the power to be able to do this. In fact, let's pick up here in Zechariah 4, verse 6, and look at this verse that you've probably heard before. It's an awesome verse. Then he said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but what? By my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. You can try and change on your own. You can try and change on your own, and you will perhaps be able to make some incremental changes. However, when you tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, he will transform you. His power is made perfect in your weakness. What does his power working in me look like without me trying to work it out on my own? What is the difference between me working it out on my own and his power working in me? I'll tell you what it's like. It's a lot like when I try to screw a picture into the wall with a screwdriver. It's real slow and I don't really get anywhere. However, when I call my friend over, Kevin Hemeseth, and he comes over with his power drill, it's done in like 2 seconds, and then he has this thing, boy, I'm so dumb, he has this thing called a level, right? Where this little, you know, some of you, yeah, you're like, Ed, you don't know that? I need help. He has this level with this little bubble, and it levels the frame, right? That's what that power is like, the power of the Holy Spirit working through you. So God says to Zerubbabel, I am going to give you the power to rebuild this temple. Let's continue on. Zechariah 4, verse 7. He says this, not even a mighty mountain will stand in Zerubbabel's way. Nothing's going to stand in your way. It will become a level plain before him. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, may God bless it, may God bless it. What is it I love about this verse? I'll tell you what I love about this verse. Before the construction even starts, before it even begins to rebuild this temple, to rebuild the house of God, God already sees the end. He already sees the end. So what does that mean for you and me? It means this. He already knows what the result is going to be if you surrender to his will. He already knows what the result is going to be if you surrender to his will. Let's continue on here. Zechariah 4, 8 through 10. Then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know what the Lord of Heaven's armies has sent me. Then you will know that the Lord of Heaven's armies has sent me. Here's a key part. Do not despise these small beginnings. Do not despise these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. You know, the initial phases of this construction was really small. And in the book of Ezra, it says that the people actually cried. A lot of them remembered God's house and the temple in its former glory when King Solomon was there and how magnificent it was, how beautiful it was. And so some of them cried because they were happy and they were rejoicing that God's house was being built. Hey, we're starting fresh, we're starting new. And others of them cried because they were rather embarrassed. Look, this is so small. There's only a few stones here. It's not going to amount to much of anything. And you know what? The reality is, that is how a lot of us can feel, isn't it? You might go to the gym and you say, what, I got to lose all this weight. I got to make all these changes in my life, in my work, in my marriage. I got to do all this thing. And you lose 1 pound, right? And you begin to get discouraged. And you go to the gym maybe once or twice or three times, and then you stop going altogether. And I'm here to tell you, don't get discouraged with these small beginnings. Don't get discouraged with these small beginnings. You know the saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. Put one stone in front of another. Put one foot in front of another. We look at people's highlight reels a lot of times. And then we see our behind the scenes. And we get so intimidated. Man, they're doing all these great things, and I, who am I, and what have I done, and what can I can't do anything. We get so intimidated, we get so discouraged. We look at King David and say, well, he took down Goliath, and I want to take down my Goliath. And I don't know what your Goliath is right now in your life, your big thing or your situation that you're saying, man, if I could just conquer this or overcome this or get beyond this in my life. Well, you know what? We forget that David was faithful tending sheep. He was faithful in the little things. He's faithful taking care of the sheep. And when wild animals would come, he'd drive them off or he would kill them. And what did he learn? He learned that when he was faithful in the little things, God would trust him with the big things. And sometimes that's a lesson we need to learn. Be faithful in the small things, and God will trust us with the big things. Ladies, maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, I wish I had a husband like Boaz. You might even say, who's Boaz? Well, go home today and read the story of Ruth. That is just, you can read that book in 20 minutes. A great little story. Ruth marries Boaz, and ladies, you might say, well, man, I would like to have a husband like Boaz. Well, we forget that Ruth was faithful to Naomi when she didn't have to be, right? She followed her mother-in-law from her own land back to a foreign land, to the nation of Israel, and stood by her through thick and thin. Not only that, but she was faithful out in the fields. And because of this, she has a marriage that everyone else wanted. She has a marriage because of it, that everyone else would want. We look at Daniel in the lion's den, and we say, I want to have a faith like Daniel. I want to believe the best. I want to have a faith like him. But you know what? We forget that Daniel stopped what he was doing 3 times a day, and he sought the Lord in prayer. He sought the Lord in prayer. And so it's the things that no one sees that result in the big differences. The legendary coach John Wooden won 7 NCAA tournament titles. And you want to know what the first thing he taught his players was? He didn't have them running sprints or killers or doing layups. The first thing John Wooden taught his players was how to put on their shoes and socks. And you might say, well, why would he teach them how to put on their shoes and socks so they didn't get blisters? Look at this quote that John Wooden, as we put it up on the screen there. He said this, it's the little things that are vital. It's the little things that are vital. The little things make big things happen. The little things make big things happen. In the weeks to come, we are going to focus on our thoughts, our words, and our habits. In the weeks to come in this series, we're going to focus on our thoughts, our words, and our habits. Why are our thoughts so important? Why is it so important, our thoughts? Because our thoughts become words. And our words become actions, and our actions become habits. And our habits create a destiny. When you focus on one thing, it's amazing what you can accomplish. Let me say that again. When you focus on one thing, it is amazing what you can accomplish. In fact, as we were getting home last night, Monica says, oh, I got so much to do, and I got to get groceries before it's minus 40 here this week, you know, and it's 30 here tonight, and I got to unpack this. And I said, you know what? Focus on one thing, right? Don't, you know, one thing at a time here, right? As we, you know, one thing at a time. David was known as a man after God's own heart. David was known as a man after God's own heart. Do you want to know what one thing he focused on more than anything else? What is the one thing that David wanted more than anything else? To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what he wanted. To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so, if the one thing that you desire is to be in the presence of God, guess what you could be? You could be described as a man or woman after God's own heart. There's power in focus. The Apostle Paul really had a hard life. I mean, that's an understatement, right? He faced massive persecution. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was hungry, at times destitute. He was snake bitten. He was stoned, and not the kind of stoned of today, but physical stoning. And what did he say? He said this in Philippians 3. He said, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, right? You got to forget what's behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Right? But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. In other words, Paul was saying, I'm not going to let my past define me and my future. I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to let my past define me and my future. Right? When you focus on one thing, it's amazing what God can do. I think of Luke chapter 10, and you all know the story of Mary and Martha. Mary was what? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, just enjoying his presence. Boy, I hope that you can do that today. Just sit at the feet of Jesus and enjoy his presence. Open up God's word and let him speak to you. I pray that that's your one thing today. Right? And so that's what she's doing, and you know what Martha was doing. The Bible says that Martha was distracted by all the preparations, all that was going on all around her. She was distracted by it. I think that's the world we live in today. People are all distracted by sports, you know, all this silly stuff that I talk about a lot of times and other things, right? We just get distracted by the things of this world, which is so temporary. This world in its present form is passing away. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. But I think that sometimes we try to hold on to this city, right? Or this life. And so, what does Jesus say to her? Luke 10, verses 41 and 42. Luke 10, verses 41 and 42, he says, but the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. You're worried and upset about all this stuff. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. She's discovered it. What is it I want you to do? What are you saying to me, Ed? I want you to seek God for one specific word that will define your year to come. In fact, the Luther football team did this, right? When they kind of asked me to do the devotions this last school year, they gave me one word, and their word was tough. Right? Tough. And they had a, you know, spelled out the letters for me, and each week I could kind of develop a little message around that one word, tough. That's what I want you to do. I want you to focus on one specific word that will define your year to come, this year to come. And then what I want you to do is I want you to attach a verse to that word. Attach a verse to that word. Why do that? Because it's not by force, right? It's not by forcing it to happen. I'm just going to make this happen. I'm just going to do it in my own power and in my own strength. It's not by force nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Maybe the one word for our church here this year is strengthen. Strengthen, right? That might just be our word. Just because a crowd is coming here doesn't mean we're going deeper, right? Doesn't mean we're going deeper just because people are coming in. What I see is this. I see that our small group attendance is very low, meaning we're not connecting, we're not building relationships. When the body of Christ is all about relationships, it's all about connecting. I see people struggling in life. And so we need to continue to grow while strengthening our roots. In fact, I like this verse in Isaiah 54:2. Isaiah 54:2 says this, enlarge the place of your tent. Yes, enlarge it. Right? Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. What if the strength of our church wasn't just here on Sunday morning, but out in the community? Well, let's just paint that vision for a moment. What if the strength of our church wasn't just here on Sunday morning, but out in the community? That is, we were meeting in homes, right? I'm reading through the book of Acts again, and I love Acts chapter 2 there, where they met together in people's homes. They shared the Lord's Supper together. They prayed together. They fellowshiped together. What if that was our strength, where we got together in people's homes every 2 weeks, or here at the church and got in a Bible study, and we got out in the community and really served? You know, next week we're going to kick off our tables out here for small group sign up, right? And we're going to have opportunities for you in the next 2 or 3 weeks to find a group on a certain night of the week and at a certain time where you can begin to connect and build some friendships and relationships. What about out in the community? Right before I left, I challenged Joe and I sent him out an email and some of the guys, and I said, you know what? You're doing a great job with our missions. You as a church have been extremely giving. Think about what we did this last year. We paid off a debt of almost $50,000. I mean, praise God, you are extremely giving and generous. But how about this year, we slowly begin to make that transition from being a giving church to being the hands and the feet out in the community, where we begin to think and pray, and besides just writing a check somewhere and sending it off, right? That's a start. That's how every missions program starts. We start small, these small beginnings, right? Do not despise them. Don't get discouraged. But let's take it to the next step, and let's say, hey, we want to be the hands. We want to be the feet out in the community. We want to make a difference this next year. We just don't want to just give to missions. We want to be the mission. How great would that be? See, when you pray and you ask God for that one word, and he gives you that one word for this year to come, guess what? You have confidence that you can hear from God. You have confidence that you can hear from God. And now you have spiritual momentum, because now you believe that you can hear from God about a lot of things. What is your word going to be? What's your word going to be? I don't know. Maybe it's faithful. Maybe it's believing or serving or giving. And when you find that one word, right, put it in Google, get a Bible concordance. What's a Bible concordance? That's where you can look up a word, whatever word the Lord gives you, and then it'll give you a list of every verse in the Bible that has that word in it. And when you attach a verse to a word, then you can put that on a note card, paste it on your mirror in your bathroom, and every morning you wake up, that word will give you focus throughout the year. And then at the end of the year, when someone says to you, well, what happened to you? You didn't used to be that involved in church, or your marriage wasn't that great, or you weren't that close to God. And the answer is this: God put something small in front of me, right? God put something small in front of me, one word, and I decided to be faithful, right? God loves when you're faithful in the small things. Why? Because then he can trust you with the big things. What's my word? My word is faithful. That's my word. And I love this verse in Hebrews 3, verse 2. It says this: he was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. So you know what I pray every day? I pray, Lord, help me to be faithful to your people, to do what you've called me to do here, right? Help me to be faithful to your people and to the one who appointed me and in your house. Help me to be faithful to Monica, right? Help me to be a good husband to her. Help me to love her, to take care of her. I asked Monica, what's your one word? Because we've been talking about this the last week or week and a half so as we've been traveling, and she says, joy. Joy is my one word. And I said, give me your verse. And she says, I got a lot of verses. And I just quote them in my head. I just remind myself of the truth, remind myself of God's word. And so I quote those verses. This next year, I want it to be a year of joy, where I am joyful in the Lord. What's your word going to be? I want you to go home today. I want you to think about that. I want you to pray about that today and this week. What word is going to define me in my year this year? Maybe it's a word that has something to do with your workplace or something to do with your marriage or something to do with the current situation you're in. And you're saying, I believe God has laid this upon my heart, and I believe this is what he wants for me and what he wants me to do. Right? And then attach a verse to it. Right? Find a verse, right? You can all get on Google. You can get a Bible concordance. Attach a verse. This is a simple thing. You can do it. I believe in you, right? And you put that on a mirror in your bathroom, right? And that will define your year to come. Now, maybe some of you here this morning, you say, you know what, Ed? I came in here this morning. This is so new to me. All right? This whole church thing, this whole setup thing, I don't know where to begin, but I know that I need a fresh start. I want to start this year off right. I know some things in my life need to change. When I look at other people's lives, it looks like they have it all together, and it just intimidates me, it overwhelms me, and it causes me to shut down. Where do I start? Well, today you start with one thing, and your one thing today is, Lord, I surrender my life to you today. You say, I don't even know what all that means, but God, I just give it to you. I give you my heart. I lay it down in front of you. I give you my soul, my mind, and my strength. And I say, Lord, here it is. I've tried to do it on my own. I cannot do it on my own. I've made some incremental changes, but not changes that last. And so today, Lord, I want to give you my life. In a moment, we're going to pray a prayer, right? We're going to give you the opportunity, just you and God, to bow your heads, to close your eyes, and to say, God, this year I want it to be different. I want this year to be different, and I want to start this year off right. And I'm going to give you my heart. I'm going to lay it down in front of you and say, this year I want you to use me as you see fit, Lord. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but there's some things in my life I'd like to change. Right? And God has placed it on your heart. You know what it is. Maybe it's something in your work. Maybe it's something with your family. Right? And you're like, I even know what that word is. As you've been speaking, God's been putting that word in my mind and laying it on my heart. He wants me to be this or do this year. Well, then we're going to pray for you that God would give you the strength to be able to do what he's called you to do, to trust him, to believe in him, that he is orchestrating everything. David says in Psalm 139, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. In other words, he has it all planned out this year for you. The question is, are you going to surrender to his will? He already knows the end results. Right? He before the construction and changes even begin in your heart and in your life, he already knows what's going to happen. The question is, are you going to join him and allow him to take you where he wants to take you this year? That's the real question. Am I going to allow him, or am I going to be stubborn, put up a wall and say, no, God, I don't want to go there. This is too much. I can't handle it. All right, God has great plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. And the choice is really yours. So with that said, let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word. It challenges us, it convicts us, it pricks us, it changes us, it shapes us, it molds us. Maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed and you say, Ed, I am that person. I thought I knew Jesus, but really, if I were to be really honest, I don't know him. I just kind of come to church now and then and and I don't feel like I have a relationship with him, and I want to start new, I want to start fresh today, and I want to start by confessing my sins, asking him to forgive me, I want to turn from them, and I want Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. If that's you, then I would just ask you, softly and quietly, right where you're sitting, to repeat these words in your heart after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. If you're here this morning and you say, I'm a Christian, but Ed, there's some things that I want to change in my life, some things that I know God's been speaking to me about, and I've been trying to do it on my own and in my own power and in my own strength, and I keep falling short. Would you pray that God would work in me and through me and give me the power, and that he would transform me, and that just like Mary, I would sit at the feet of Jesus and let him change me from the inside out and stop working so hard on my own to try to do it, but release it to him. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ that they may be able to release and turn over whatever it is that they're so holding on to with fists clenched, that they would open up those fists, open up those hands, and say, here it is, Lord. Here's my heart. Here's my marriage. Here's my concerns. And say, Lord, here it is to you. I give it in to you, and I say, take it from me and shape me into the man or woman of God you've called me to be. We pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.